I'm Niamh Cassidy, a former social care worker who, after having my own children, found a calling as a childbirth educator and lactation consultant. Back when I started this journey, I faced the same challenges many of you might be experiencing right now, struggling to get enough clients to make my business viable long term. I knew in my heart that I had the skills and knowledge to make a difference, but the thought of marketing and selling left me feeling a bit uneasy. I didn't want to compromise my authenticity and values just to attract clients. I invested in trainings and mentorships, and I tried various strategies that I learned, but it often felt like I couldn't implement a lot of it because what I was being taught didn't match my values as a birth and postpartum worker. That's when I decided to take matters into my own hand. I embarked on a mission to learn, to experiment, and to find ethical and authentic ways to share my expertise, support my clients, and build a sustainable practice. Today, I'm proud to say that I run a thriving private practice, and I'm here to share my insights with all of you to help you to do the same. Join me on this journey as I help you bridge the gap between your passion for supporting new parents and the success you deserve. Together, we'll discover the power of ethical, authentic, and effective approaches, not only to make a living, but also to make a positive impact in the world of birth and postnatal care. Let's get started on this empowering journey together. Hello, all of my lovely listeners. If you are listening to this episode on the day it comes out, then it will have been the Facebook, Meta, Instagram, all things outage was yesterday. So how did you deal with that? Send me a DM to let me know if you thought that you were hacked, because I totally thought that I was hacked and I was panicking. And I had no idea what was going on for a few minutes until I checked X and then I found out. So I was glad I wasn't hacked. I wonder if you felt the same. I was also really glad that I had my email list and I was still able to contact people to let them know that they hadn't been hacked, but also if Instagram had gone down properly or Facebook had gone down properly, that I would have a way of contacting my audience. So if you have been putting that email list on the long finger, then I really, really, really do suggest that you take that finger out and get started. If this isn't a sign, then I don't know what is. And if you're looking for an email provider, I moved to Flowdesk last year. I absolutely love it. It's so easy to use. And there is a 50% off link in the show notes. Anyway, for today's episode, what I've done is I've taken a snapshot of part of the audio of a webinar I did earlier this year on balance and boundaries. So the part of the webinar is focusing on the mindset part. So looking at the mindset of balance, the mindset of boundaries, and how you need to frame things in your mind to be able to create a life of balance and boundaries. So in the clip, I start with asking the question, do we all have the same 24 hours in a day? So let's listen in.
We all have the same 24 hours. How does that make you feel? Do you agree? We got a thumbs up, a thumbs down? Do we all have the same 24 hours? Yeah, we got, it's a little bit of a thumbs up and a little bit of a, I'm not quite so sure. So yes, technically, of course, we all have the same amount of time in the day. There are 24 hours in the day, whether it's my day or your day or anyone else's day. But it doesn't mean that we all have the ability to do whatever we want with those 24 hours because of life's responsibilities. And some people are going to have more responsibilities than others, which gives them less choice in how we're going to fill our time. So yes, I could choose to not bring my kids to school or not feed them or not look after them, but I'd probably, you know, get in a lot of trouble. So for someone who doesn't have any responsibilities, they have a lot more choices with what they do with their time than people who have different levels of responsibilities. So yes, we all have the same 24 hours, but that doesn't mean that we all have the same free time or the same amount of time to get things done outside of core responsibilities, like families or even if we have a full-time paid job as well. So for yourselves, to start thinking about some of the responsibilities that you have, and if you have a notebook or a piece of paper, you might want to start jotting some of them down. So when you start thinking about all the different types of responsibilities that you have in your life, maybe just start writing down a little list for yourself. It might look something like this, or it might focus on different parts. So you might look at different business responsibilities that you have, different household responsibilities that you have, family responsibilities, any hobbies or pastimes that you might have, looking after yourself and your well-being. So what goes on that list? You don't have to prioritize them. We're not going to put them in a hierarchy. Just, what is in that list for you? So when I look at mine, some of the things that come up, and this is not exhaustive in any way. So as part of my business, I need to see clients. So I need to go and see my lactation clients. I need to run my classes. I need to work with my coaching clients. I have to do my accounts. I have to do things to market my services so that people actually come and access them. There's lots of other admin that goes with it. So as a lactation consultant, I have to send plans, I have to do notes, to keep records, do your calendar. So there's lots of admin. Then there's things for household shopping, cooking, cleaning, school drop off. I have multiple volunteer roles. So there's a lot of things that we can put on our list of responsibilities. And even sometimes just looking at these things, we can start to feel overwhelmed. And that might be one of the reasons why you decided to sign up for this workshop. You may be feeling overwhelmed, or you might be just feeling stuck in what it is that you're doing and feeling that there's no way out of where you are. So I'm going to give lots of different ideas, suggestions, tips, and tricks, and we're going to look at mindset as well. But then every person needs to find how that can work in their lives, or pick the parts that are going to work for them in their in your particular circumstances. But when I started focusing on balance and time management and getting things in an order that worked for me and my family and how my brain works, I was able to pretty much completely stop working in the afternoons. Whereas before, I was getting home from collecting the kids from school and I was trying to type up plans, I was trying to get things done. I've also reduced my weekend work by about 50%. And in the 18 months where I started really building my business, so that wasn't even around the balance end, I increased what I took home, so what I paid myself for my business, by about 50% in that 18 months. So you can be more productive and still have better balance or free time as well. So if that sounds good, what does it feel like if you imagine that you had the level of balance that you're looking for in your work and your home life, allowing you to kind of thrive in the ways that you want to, both professionally and personally. Even just take a second to think about what would that actually feel like, or what would it look like, or how, where do you feel it in your body when you think about kind of having that, what you want, what you're looking for in relation to balance. So what we're going to do today, so we're going to start with looking at how we really can't do balance unless we have boundaries as well. We're going to develop our mindset shifts to create more balance and boundaries. So let's get started. We're going to find ways to discover how balance isn't possible without boundaries. And this is really the core of it all. Because I used to believe that I had to do it all, that everything had to be me, and I couldn't see how things could be different. I was always on the go. It was, I need to do this, I need to do this, go, go, go. What? And there was this constant list living in my head all of the time. And sometimes it's the amount of mental space things take up that make it even more overwhelming. But as I did a lot more self-development, a lot more business development, I learned that I had to be the one to make the changes, and it was up to me to take control and to be able to change the way that my life was going. And I liked this quote from Betty Jacobson. I don't know who she is, but I found her quote, and it was that balance is not better time management, but it's better boundary management. And it definitely has to start there for me. Because if we only think about balance and we don't think about everything else. And despite the fact that I called this workshop Balance and Boundaries, if we only focus on the balance part, we can start to kind of resent things if we feel it's out of balance. So, for example, I love working. So, I love working in my lactation business. I love doing my antenatal classes. I love doing everything for the collective. It's my hobby as well as my work. You know, I really, really enjoy it. But if I'm in a really busy phase and some of my work is spilling into what I had previously allocated as family time or as other time, I used to get really annoyed that that was happening and kind of beat myself up about it. But balance isn't about everything being equal. You know, there are going to be times where you're busier in work and you spend less time on other things. Maybe you drop some pastimes or you get some help at home. Or are there going to be times where there's a lot going on home and where work things are going to have to go further down the ladder? So everything isn't always equal. And if we only think about balance without the boundaries at part, then it can mess up our heads a little bit about it. So what I needed to do instead of worrying about balance was to set some boundaries instead, because setting boundaries allows you to prioritize what's important to you in general, but also at specific times in your life. So, for example, I took all of my volunteer emails off my phone. So I have two volunteer email groups that were pinging on my phone. Okay, so the little I don't have to have tones on my phone ever. But the little circle would turn up, and I took those emails off my phone, and I only check them on my laptop. So it's only when I deliberately decide I have the time and the headspace to look at those emails do I see them. The same with the WhatsApp groups. Now they're a bit harder, obviously, because once you go into WhatsApp, you see them. But taking those groups into mute so that again they're not jumping into my life space all of the time, because you don't have to be available to everybody all of the time. It can seem in this kind of modern society that people have expectations about instant replies and things like that. But if you set the boundary to say, I check my volunteer emails twice a week and I will reply twice a week, that I have my WhatsApp groups on mute and I will check in every now and again to see if there's anything important that I need to know. And what was even bigger for me this year, that over Christmas, I took a whole week off. And even though I wasn't seeing clients, I was still looking after clients because of the clients I'd seen in the run up to Christmas. But I turned off my work email notifications on my phone, which I wouldn't normally do. And it just felt amazing. It just felt so good to not be seeing those that little circle pop up and me think, oh, I better check that now, maybe they need me. And instead, like that, I would check once or twice a day when I felt I had the space to do that. So we can enforce boundaries in our lives about how we respond to clients, about how we respond to our volunteer work, about how we communicate with our families. And there's all sorts of different balance or boundaries that we can enforce. And they might be the other way around. So it might be you know, that you don't have your phone when you're not working. So you put it away, or so you're not distracted even by Facebook or Instagram. So if you're with the kids or whatever it might be, you know, it's about finding what works for you. But enforcing boundaries can be really, really helping. Because as I mentioned earlier, balance isn't just about activities. It's not just about all the things we have to do. It's about all of the space in our head. And when we're trying to do something and other things keep invading that space, and we're thinking, oh, I haven't got back to that, and I haven't got back to that, and I haven't got back to that, that's where all of the overwhelm comes in. So if we can give everything a time and a space, it makes things feel a lot easier. And we don't get us distracted, which we'll talk about later on. So now that we've learned a little bit about boundaries, we're going to look at this a little bit further into changing our mindset shifts and to get some balances, strategies to create balance and boundaries. Before we get into it too much, or to start challenging our mindset a little bit, I want you to think about, do you see your work as a real business, Or do you see it as a hobby or an interest or something that you do, or just something that you do that you enjoy, but you hope to make a little bit of money out of it? Just take a minute to think, where's your head at with this? And be honest with yourself. You know, be honest with yourself. Do you see what you're doing as work? Do you see it as a job? And either way, what evidence is there to support that? Is there evidence to support the fact that if you are saying to yourself that, yes, this is real for me, yes, this is a job, yes, I'm committed, would your life and how and your activities show that there is evidence in that? And if there is, you know, that's wonderful. If there's not, then it might be something to be thinking about. You know, if I don't see this as work, then I'm not going to prioritize it. I'm not going to be able to grow a business that I don't see as a business or that I don't put that emphasis on. So if we go back to that list of responsibilities and activities that we do, and we think about the evidence, where are we spending more or less time? What is being prioritized? And does there need to be a shift in that? Maybe there doesn't. You know, maybe you're perfectly happy with where you're at in your business or where you're at in your family life. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you would prefer if things changed, if there was a difference. So if there are things that you feel that you're not getting done in your business and you want to get done, that you want to drive things forward, of those other responsibilities that you put on your list, is there anything that other family members could take over, whether that's other adults in the household or older children or even friends or family that could help out with different things? So is there anyone, particularly in the household for this part, is there anyone in the household that could take over some of the things that you wrote down as your responsibilities? And just if there is a little bit of reluctance coming up for you when I say that, when I make that suggestion, just have a think about that. Just reflect on it. Just spend some time, maybe after we're finished here today, or maybe over the next few days, to reflect on where that reluctance is coming from when you think about either giving over some of that responsibility to someone else or asking somebody else to take on some of that responsibility. If there is a bit of reluctance, just don't argue with yourself over it, but just take a little tab to say, I need to reflect on this a little bit and see where this is coming from. Because when you value your business as a business, other people will too. And asking for help and enforcing boundaries are not bad things because your work is as valuable as anyone else's. I know when I started, I nearly did feel that it was just something I was doing on the side for fun or something that I was trying out. Or even though actually probably I was more committed to it than that's probably the way I portrayed it to anyone else. I never talked about work. I never talked about my job to my friends, to my family. I rarely spoke about it to my husband other than I'm running a class on this date. You have to mind the kids. You know, there was never much more than that. There was never much about my plans, my ambitions, my desires, or even talking about it the way people talk about paid employment. You know, it's very easy to talk about, oh, I was at work and this happened and blah, 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 blah. But do you talk about your work? Do you talk about your business? Do you tell people that you're excited about it? Do you tell people what your hopes and dreams are? Do you tell them what you're doing even? Because when we portray that we believe there's value in what we're doing, other people do generally pick that up. And but it has to start with us because no one else is going to think we're serious about it if we don't think we're serious about it, and if we don't put that out there. And sometimes I found in working with many people in this work that there's that reluctance, that underlying fear, that underlying hesitation can come from feeling that the monetary value of work is what gives it value. So if your partner, for example, earns more money than you do and is supporting the household, that sometimes can feel that their work is more important than your work. Well, I challenge you to think, is it more important? And while it might be more important to the household finances at a particular time, does that actually make it more important in the grand scheme of things? Is their work actually a bit more flexible that it could make your work a little bit easier? Or is there, and maybe it's not, if a partner is a doctor and they work a certain amount of hours and they have to be at the hospital from then to then, there's probably less flexibility. But in most jobs now that most people do outside of high care services or, truck driving or, things where you're actually very structured in what you do and in the hours, there is flexibility in other people's workloads that they could get if they wanted to. And it may be encouraging a little bit more flexibility if there is another adult in your household to help you with your business, that's okay because your work and your business is valuable too. So some of the things that really, that these are really basic practical things, but some of the things that help me move my mindset from kind of being, oh, I'm trying this out, I'm not sure if it's going to work, we'll see what happens, to being, I'm running a business and I'm at work, was setting up a desk for myself. That started with a desk in my sitting room, a tiny IKEA desk, less than a meter long, but I had my desk and I had a few little, filey things, and that was my space, and that was where I was going to work. And when I sat down at that desk, I was at work. So I wasn't just popping in to do a little bit of work. If I sit down, I'm at work. Telling Alan, talking to my husband about what it was that I wanted to do and what I was hoping for, and that I was excited about it and everything that it was that I wanted to do. And for whatever reason, I don't know what, that seemed like a really hard thing to do at first, to kind of say, this is what I'm doing and this is what I want to work for. But once it was done, it was so much easier. And he's very much on board now that when I'm at work, I'm at work, and that I have a job and I work for myself. So we work around each other as best we can with both of our jobs. And the belief that it, this was another one, that the belief that it's important for me to work on my business and not just in my business. So before, I used to think work was only when I was with clients, when I was teaching class, then I was at work. But being able to set up the desk and be able to believe that the other parts of the business, the admin, the marketing, the visibility, the planning, the goals, the vision, that all of that was also work and part of my work day or my work environment, that really, really helped me as well, and it might help you too. And then surrounding myself with like-minded others. So that started really with me joining business communities, with me joining memberships for women in business, with me attending networking events for women in business, and then ultimately with me setting up the collective so I could be around more birth workers in business. So while I was with a lot of service industry people, being able to surround yourself with other people who also are ambitious, who also want more for themselves, for their families, that really helps you feel that it's okay to want it, and it's okay to do it, and to give more motivation to find that balance and to keep those boundaries that we talked about. So maybe that sounds great in theory, but maybe you're still feeling a little, but that might not work for me. My life is different. It is. Your life is different. But let's do a really quick exercise. And if you are with me live, I'm going to ask you to get ready to type something into the chat. And if you are watching on the recording, you can just write it down for yourself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question, and then I want you to count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then answer the question. Okay, you can say it out loud, you can say it in your head, whatever it is that works for you, but just do it. Okay, I'm going to give a direction here. Just do as you're told. Do this exercise just for me, for yourself, really. So Here's the question. Remember, I'm going to ask the question. You're going to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then just type something or write it down. So, in one word, what do you want from your business this year? So, hopefully, you've put your word in. And so, here's the bit. So, if I had that is Mel Robbins's 5 second rule, okay? So it's not dropping your food on the floor and picking it up in 5 seconds. But if I'd said we're going to do an exercise and I'm going to give you 10 minutes and I gave you the same question, what do you think you would have done? My guess is you wouldn't just yet. So we're hearing that we wouldn't just get it in one. I can imagine, I know for me, it would have been, well, I would have thought about it a lot. I would have wondered, will I type that word in, procrastinated about the answer, talked myself out of it? Exactly. How funny, they're the same word. So yeah, we got some of the same words in there. So we had freedom and financial freedom was coming up a bit. So if we take too much time to make decisions, we will take too much time to make decisions. And as Steph said there, I would have talked myself out of it. Because that's exactly what we do. We get an impulse to do something because it feels really good and it feels really right. And then we start thinking. And then we talk ourselves out of it for all the reasons why we won't do the thing, why we shouldn't do the thing, why right now is not the right time to do the thing. And there's two things that happen here. There's one, we waste a ridiculous amount of time thinking about things that either never get done or we do eventually do, but we've still spent a load of time wasted thinking about it. And if you saw my stories the other night when I was out for a walk, I said that I wouldn't have been out for a walk if it wasn't for a strategy that I had learned. And that was this 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 rule. So it's absolutely Baltic cold here in Dublin at the moment. And it has been for the last week or so. And but I had told myself I need to get my fitness back a little bit. And I mean, I'm at zero fitness right now. Going out for a 1.5 kilometer walk is as good as it gets. So I said, I'm going to go out for this walk later on. And then I was upstairs, I put on my runners, and then I was like, I could feel it. It was about to happen. Oh, it's cold. Oh, it's very dark. Or maybe I'll just go out in the morning, you know. And I was like, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I walked down the stairs. And I said, Alan, I'm going out for a walk. And I put my AirPods in, I put my coat on, and I walked out the door. So instead of spending 10 minutes convincing myself that I wasn't going out for a walk, I spent 5 seconds telling myself I was and I did it. So part of the rule is the counting backwards interrupts the thought processes. So it gives you a chance to stop the oh, but, oh, but, oh, but. And then the next part is the action. So that's why I told you to get ready to type because I wanted you to actually do something. So the action can be a movement or to do something. Now, we're not talking about making 5 second decisions for buying a house or signing a contract or getting a new job or big things like that. But there are so many things that we just want to do. And if we just did them, life would be so much easier and so much quicker, and we'd get so much more from it. And some of those are things that we don't want to do. And some of them are things, but we know we need to. And some of them are things that we did want to do when we thought impulsively, and then we talked ourselves out of it. So it's just a little one. Definitely, I'm definitely building this into the Birth Pro Boost for this year. So that's going to be much bigger this year, probably coming out in April, I hope. But there's going to be a lot more mindset work in it like this. We can go into that in a lot more detail then. Another person I want to introduce you to, if you don't know her already, is Rachel Rogers. So Rachel Rogers has a brilliant podcast. Now she doesn't keep it updated regularly anymore, but this book, We Should All Be Millionaires, is absolutely amazing. And in it, she talks about million-dollar decisions and broke-ass decisions. So this is how she talks. And she says that if you want to succeed, you have to start making million-dollar decisions rather than broke-ass decisions. And part of what Mel Robbins was talking about with the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, is a similar way to start making those million-dollar decisions. So rather than talking yourself out of it or saying that I can't do it or just plain lowballing things or, not taking any risks, make the million-dollar decisions because they create time and energy and free up mental space for things that matter to you. So some of that as well is about putting yourself first because women are more prone to what she calls broke ass decisions because many of us have a desire to be liked and to not make fuss. And obviously we have a huge history of systemic patriarchal nonsense. And we can also live in a broke ass environment. So we can surround ourselves with people who always feel that things can never get better, that don't have ambitions or who aren't excited about the world or who really, really have a lot of money blocks or feel that, money's hard to make or that you can't get it or just aren't in a positive mindset. But the desire to be liked and not make a fuss can be a really big one as well. And I was able to stop myself from using up energy that I didn't have by doing the 5-4-2-2-1 rule recently as well. I got a message on LinkedIn asking me to get on a 10-minute call with someone who's building something. And what she was building was really interesting, really important. And I probably had interesting and helpful things to say to her. But I had told myself at the start of the year that I wasn't putting anything extra on my plate other than the things that I wanted to work towards. I already have three volunteer jobs. I wasn't putting anything extra on my plate. So as I'm thinking, oh, I should really help this woman out. I should really, I'm like, 5-4-3-2-1, no thanks. Slightly longer sentence than that. But I said no. I got another email recently from people who I do volunteer with who were looking for help with something else, something I could have helped them with. But again, I was like, no, I made a decision. I'm not taking anything extra on this year. Sorry, I'm not going to be involved. And that's not me being mean. And we can feel like that sometimes. Well, I could have helped that person. Why didn't I help them? Because sometimes we have to protect our own time and energy as well. And that's okay. And it's okay to say no and make million-dollar decisions to free up your time again.
If you enjoyed or benefited from today's podcast, please leave a review on your favorite listening platform. And if you need help in standing out as a birth or postpartum worker, download our free guide, 10 Steps to Stand Out and Get More Bookings. The link is in the show notes.